Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. A lot going on in the news as it pertains to the I-10 Bayway Bridge, but also just government accountability in general with prisons and what's going on in Montgomery. State Auditor Jim Ziegler joins us on the line. Jim, how are you this morning?
Fine. It's good to be back.
Hey, it's good. Thank you for making time for us. Everything going? How's everything going? COVID-19 and all that okay?
Well, our Capitol building has been barricaded since May, and citizens have not been allowed in. Now, they've appeared to have loosened that up without announcing their loosening just within the last few days. But there's very little going on in terms of meetings and public involvement in Montgomery, and I hope we can get back to normal very quickly.
Right, these protocols, they've rolled them in, and it just sounds like to say that they've quietly are starting to roll some of them back, but we'll see. We'll see. It remains uncertain. Well, there's some certainty in other places. Not really clear where the state is headed on that, but I don't know. You know, back in the news down this way, the Eastern Shore MPO is kicking around the idea of putting the I-10 Mobile Bay Bridge back on its long-term list of projects. And I guess to get it back on what they call its transportation improvement program, a list of things that would be eligible for federal money. Is that premature? What do you think, just given the 2019 experience with this issue?
Ever since we were able to block the toll plan, and I might say the very ridiculous toll plan in August of 2019, we knew there was a probability that somebody would come back with another plan for an I-10 bridge over Mobile Bay. It's just inevitable. And since then, actually, one loose group of leaders in Baldwin County came back with a proposal, but it didn't get very far, 7 or 8 months ago. And now we've been informed that there are people taking another look at it. Now, if they can put in a new bridge using the existing funds, the gas tax, the increase in the gas tax, the GOMESA money, the leftover BP funds, federal money, infrastructure grants, then let's see the plan and let's go forward without a toll. And you know that in Birmingham, they just built a new I-59, I-20, I-65 interchange, costing about $800 million with no toll. They can build the I-10 bridge with no tolls, and we're sticking to that.
Right. Well, as far as that's concerned, though, and Senator Elliott, Chris Elliott, he doesn't trust this governor, or he doesn't trust the ALDOT director, John Cooper, that he thinks we'd probably be better off waiting until there's new leadership in Montgomery. What do you think of that?
ALDOT and Director John Cooper and Governor Ivey lost a lot of credibility on the Gulf Coast in the ridiculous plan. Now, the more we learned about that 2019 toll plan, the worse it got. The more facts we learned, the more we had to block the thing, and we did. I have a loss of trust in ALDOT and John Cooper. And many, many other people do, too. But preliminary work toward a new bridge with no toll from existing funds can be done without their involvement. And the leadership needs to come locally, not from Montgomery. This idea that Montgomery knows what's best for the Gulf Coast, that's not a good idea.
Well, does it strike you? There just doesn't seem to be any willingness from leadership in Montgomery to even try to make amends and say, look, we messed up. We screwed up. We tried to force this down your throats. We shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have told you it was our way. There's no contrition there. It is all you guys down there. I was up in Huntsville at the time. You guys down there want a free bridge. You don't want to pay for it. You want us to pay for it. You know, we're already paying for your port to be dredged. Why should we pay for this? And they were kind of using that to really force or promote this idea that we need this public-private partnership.
The I-10 bridge is not a local road. It is an interstate highway, and hundreds of thousands of cars come through there a week. And a lot of the tourist trade that comes to Baldwin County from the west and from the east comes on Interstate 10. So the idea that this is a local project, that we're wanting it, but we want Montgomery to pay for it? No, that's not what it is. This last project was not pushed by the local leaders. It was pushed by Montgomery, for Montgomery, and in Montgomery.
And they're just, like I said, there doesn't seem to be any recognition that was the, you know, that this was a screw-up. And I guess that gets us to that point. Even if Montgomery doesn't proceed with a toll and they come up with something else that's toll free, then why do we think that that is on the up and up even? Why do we think that that is going to be something that is suitable for people down this way?
It's a legitimate concern. And fortunately, the local elected officials who are on the Mobile MPO, which is mayors and councilmen and county commissioners, and the Eastern Shore MPO, get virtually the final say in this. So if they come up with another plan that is not in the best interest of Mobile and Baldwin County, we can again go to the MPOs and lobby them to block it, which they did last time.
Just to ask this, do you feel certain, do you have confidence in the MPOs to act in the best interest of their constituents? Well, I would assume they would, but I mean, you know, who knows? You could twist some arms and wheel a deal, and then maybe next thing you know, you have another toll bridge situation.
Well, we understand in 2019 there was a lot of pressure on the county commissioners and mayors who are on the MPOs, a pressure from Montgomery to keep that toll proposal on the TIP, the Transportation Infrastructure Plan. And they stood up. They saw it was a bad plan, and they saw that the general public was totally against it. And they stood up that time, and we just are confident that the public will stand up again if they come with another toll proposal.
Joined by State Auditor Jim Ziegler here on the program. Jim, the other thing I think that the governor is taking this go-it-alone approach, and if you really drill down to these localities on this prison plan where they're proposing to build prisons at, the locals don't want it. But it just seems with the legislature out of session and out of the game by that, the governor is going to try to do something similar here. And that is just imposed by executive fiat, a prison plan on the state without really, I would say, without any sort of check or balance.
Well, there are no checks and balances when it comes to this rent-a-prison plan. The advisors to the governor have come up with a Machiavellian-type plan to push the thing through with no involvement of the representatives of the people, the state legislature. The legislature, under the Constitution, is supposed to appropriate, is supposed to hold the purse strings, and they have been completely cut out by this methodology that the Department of Corrections and the governor are using. They are going to have it so far down the road by February when the legislature comes back into regular session that it's going to be hard the block. I have lawyers looking at the proposal now to see if they've violated any procedures or violated the Constitution or anything else where we could try to block the thing. The upshot of the governor's lease of three prisons from private entities is it will cost about twice as much to do it that way as it would if the state built their own, as they always have, using the low-cost state bonds. And yet they're going around the legislature and very stubbornly vowing that they're going to push the thing through.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's deja vu. It just seems like the same circumstances with the bridge, that this, it's our way. There's no discussion. And I don't know where you would have that discussion without the legislature involved, but there is, at least as far as I could tell, doesn't really seem to be any willingness to hear these concerns voiced.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And the citizen leaders in Bibb County, next to where the prison is going to go, and in Elmore County, where the other one, a second one, is going to go, have been in touch with us. And we sent them a copy of my book about how we bought the I-10 toll plan. And they're trying to adopt some of our ideas in organizing up there. The problem is, you can't just get hundreds of people or thousands of people on a petition. How can you actually block it? How can you legally block it? And that's what I'm working on.
I mean, and that's the problem where the toll bridge impacted, you know, thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, daily lives. You just talk about a handful of people in Bibb County and Escambia County and in Elmore County, which makes it a little bit of a tougher, heavier lift.
Well, it is, and the leaders of the citizen groups in two of those areas are just quite frustrated as to what can they do for their voices to be heard and to block the thing. And we're trying our best to come up with some legal strategy, something that they've violated in their odd methodology for ramming these prisons through.
Well, and you look at the politics, particularly the Bibb County prison, you got an open Senate seat there with Cam Ward going to serve pardons and paroles. You got to have an open Senate seat there. Maybe that's where you make some hay. Then you can maybe talk about it in terms of it becomes an election issue of sorts.
Well, it very well could, and there's a double problem there. Not only the state Senate seat open with Senator Cam Ward taking an appointment into the Ivy administration, but their state representative resigned to take a job in the Trump administration. So they have a brand new state representative, absolutely brand new. So the voice that normally they would have is not there. Put that on top of the fact that there is no session until February. What do you do to block the prison coming into your backyard?
Well said. Jim, we got to get out of here, but I appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
That was State Auditor Jim Ziegler, ladies and gentlemen, making time for us to talk about prisons and the I-10 bridge.